So put yourself so that this book is not just for you to, more than just for you to sing or to pray, but that you immerse yourself into that identity of the bride, which is the picture, I mean, Sodomite woman, okay? So it go beyond just gender, okay? No, it's got nothing to do with gender, okay? And it's not true. Many people say, oh, it's easy for a woman to understand about this truth or revelation about Jesus, the bridegroom, and we are the bride. No, it's got nothing to do with gender. Nothing to do with gender. Then we have no hope. Then why even bother go to Song of Song? The best teacher on Song of Song over the ages are primarily guys. So it's got nothing to do with gender. No, I mean nothing against women. Don't get me wrong. So don't get this. Please come, some good one. Please come out. I know, but I'm just telling you that so that you break out from this gender thing. So nothing to do with gender. Okay, okay. The third group. The daughters of Jerusalem. Okay. The daughters of Jerusalem. Okay. It pops up here and there are strange questions. Some are cynical questions. Some are good questions. Okay. Basically, there are groups of believers, okay, in the church where they are not very mature, they are very passive, and they are dull. You certainly don't want to be the daughter of Jerusalem. Okay. Don't categorize the church as this. Okay. Oh, yeah, the church. No, no. It can be you and me too. Okay. So, daughter of Jerusalem. Fourth one. Watchmen of the city. That appears twice. Watchmen of the cities. They are the shepherds and spiritual leaders. Okay. One incident, they are good shepherds. Another incident, they are not that good shepherd. Okay. In chapter 3, it came as a good shepherd where they point the way for the Sodomite woman to find Jesus. But then in chapter 5, they weren't that good. I mean, they really were nasty and give her a hard time. Okay. Then there's a fifth one. Holy Spirit. I mean, this appear only 3 times where he actually spoke, making powerful declaration about Jesus and powerful declaration about the bride of Christ. 3 times. Song chapter 2, verse 7. Chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. And chapter 4, verse 4 and 5. Primarily centered around this divine embrace thing. Okay. Again, as I run through it, you will begin to understand. Okay. Third, uniqueness of Song of Song. Okay. Where I want to encourage you to go and read. Okay. You have 2 weeks before I 2 Fridays before the next time I run through the overview of Song of Song. I encourage you to go and read the book of Ecclesiastes because it will help you. Both books must be read and studied together that you really appreciate. Okay, see, Solomon wrote 3 books. Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and then Song of Songs. Okay, Song of Songs can be called Song of Solomon or Song of All Song. I explain to you why it's called the Song of All Song. Solomon wrote 3 books in the Old Testament. Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and then Song of Songs. All are poetry book. Okay, if you understand Jewish mindset, the way that we relate to these 3 books is always this. It's consistent. They relate is to the temple of Solomon. Okay, the book of Proverbs is like depicts the picture of outer courts. Okay, and the book of Proverbs is primarily about wisdom. It's a powerful. I mean, I've been reading, you know, every time, especially during a devo session. I just read one verse. Proverbs is not a book where you can just glance through. Every verse is so rich. You know, just now I was just reading Proverbs. You know, during the session, Proverbs 3 is a man. I only read one, Proverbs 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Just thinking about it. I didn't even want to get to the next one. Okay. So Proverbs actually give us a picture of the outer courts. Ecclesiastes, picture of the holy place or the inner court. No, I'm sharing so they understand what this book is about. And then you appreciate the depth of the Song of Song. Song of Song is a picture of Holy of Holies. And you understand the Temple of Solomon or Tabernacle of Moses. Holy of Holies is the place where you encountered the Lord. You know His heart. You see Him face to face. Because in the Holy of Holies, what do you have? The Ark of the Covenant. Why is on top of the Ark of the Covenant? No, inside is the Ten Commandments, which is the two tablets, the staff of Moses, and the manna, which represents something about God. But on top of the Ark of the Covenant, what do you have? Two cherubim spreading out their wings, two wings touching each other wings, and on in between is called the mercy seat. And when you understand mercy seat is like the throne of God here on earth. Isaiah 66 says what? Heaven is my throne. Earth is my footstool. Where do you think is His footstool? The Ark of the Covenant. That's why it's so powerful, you know. And the Jewish people understand a little bit about the song. No, it sounds like an insult to them. No, they understand about Song of Song, where it depicts the Holy of the Holy. But I want to match Song of Song together with Ecclesiastes and encourage you to read that 12 chapters. To me, Ecclesiastes is like, you know, if you understand the Song of Song, chapter 1, this is my own personal belief, okay? I can't prove it, but I thought it makes lots of sense, okay? If you read Song of Song, chapter 1, verse 1 to 4, the journey has not begun. Basically, it's like, I call it the bridal cry of intimacy, where the bride of Christ lay out her visions, where she said, "Kiss me, O Father, ask your son, who is my bridegroom, to kiss me with the kisses of his mouth." Why? Why? Because his love is better than wine. Means, oh, there's nothing better. Basically, it's a summary and lay out the theme of the book before the journey began. The journey actually began in chapter 1, verse 5. Okay. I believe Ecclesiastes is between chapter 1, Song of Song chapter 1, verse 4, and Song of Song chapter 1, verse 5. So before, once you read, maybe I should do this. Let me think about it. After I teach chapter 1, verse 1 to verse 4, I run through the book of Ecclesiastes, then I go to chapter 1, verse 5. Because Ecclesiastes is a book where Solomon asks the questions about life. What is the most well-known statement about the book of Ecclesiastes? Vanity is vanity. Because Solomon has reached the height, the pinnacle of his career as a king. He's the wisest. He's well known because of the Temple of Solomon. He has riches. He has everything. Even nations come to him to sort him out, to just take a look at Solomon. Remember this queen called Queen Sheba? Say, truly you are wise. You know, he wrote the book of Ecclesiastes because he was at the pinnacle of his life. And he realized that even with all the riches and wisdom and wealth and everything, there is a void. There is an emptiness. That's why the whole entire book, he say what? That vanity is vanity. Until chapter 12, finally he found an answer. So the book of Ecclesiastes is about asking a question about life. Song of Song give that answer. So the best to read, you know, we read Song of Song chapter 1. Oh, that means really, actually Song of Song is, if you throw in the book of Ecclesiastes, it's no longer 8 chapters, it's 20 chapters. But I encourage you, after you read verse 4, pause. Go back one book. Read the 12th chapter of the book of Ecclesiastes. And then read verse 5, because it's in between. And then you will discover an even deeper truth about the Song of Song when you put both books together, when you study it together. I was just breathing into it and said, man, I've never seen this before. It's so powerful. Okay. Ecclesiastes revealed the vanity and emptiness of life without passion for Jesus. Song of Song provide the answer in how to have that emptiness being fulfilled. Now, I'm not saying that there's no place for getting some money and so on, but that basically what Solomon is going through and he's telling human race, guys, look at me. I'm the pinnacle of whatever human being can achieve. Most in his time, he's the most well-known. If you mention, ask people question about Solomon, what do people mention? His temple. Chinese, 所罗门的宝藏. It's his treasure, it's his riches. I mean, it's like, guys, girls too, look at me, I'm at the pinnacle of my life. It did not satisfy. That is that void, that is that emptiness. And that's where Song of Song came. Of course, he wrote Song of Song. Song of Song came in and provide the answer in how to have that emptiness being satisfied. No, again, I'm not saying that there's no place for a drive car, stay in the house and so on, but that you can, but without that passion for Jesus and the intimacy with Jesus, nothing satisfies your souls. You will always feel the emptiness. That's why Solomon, throughout the entire 11 chapters, he asked the questions. What is life? Vanity is vanity. And he came to a conclusion in chapter 12. Okay. That's why Ecclesiastes, Solomon asked the question about life. Song of Song, give the answer. And Ecclesiastes, target the mind. Song of Song, target the heart. One is about understanding of life, but have no answer. And the next one is having that satisfaction being fulfilled by God. That's why you need to read both book together. Let me just read through this if you want to. Just write down. Okay. Ecclesiastes, written to review the vanity of life without intimacy with God. Ecclesiastes is basically written to review the vanity of life without intimacy with God. See, I didn't say about, no, cannot have this, cannot have that. No, you can have everything. Nothing wrong. But that, you can have everything. Nothing wrong, but you will never satisfy the craving of your desire because you are fashioned for Jesus. You are fashioned for God. There's only one person in the entire universe can fulfill that void. Everything will be temporal. Everything gravitates around that one person who is the center of universe. More than just the center of universe, it's the center of all our focus and the source of our satisfaction. That is what it is about. That's why this is so powerful. And the book, 12 chapters, speaks about that. I mean, basically, you read this like, you can imagine like Solomon going around endless wondering, he find this. No, yeah, okay. Tonight, I'm going to watch this movie. Maybe that will satisfy me. Oh, no. Vanity is vanity. I reckon, okay, I'm going to the best Starbucks coffee I drink. Vanity is vanity. Never mind. I have enough money. I buy what's a good car? Bentley. After a while, I say, vanity is vanity. Oh, never mind. I buy the latest technology, iPhone 6. Vanity is. That's why iPhone 6. After 6, you have to have 7. After 7, you're going to have 8. After 8, you have to have 9. You never satisfied. No, I'm not saying you cannot. If you think you don't want, give me the iPhone 6. I give you the 4. But I'm saying this. We have to keep upgrading. It's because at the end of the day, all these things don't satisfy. That does not mean you cannot upgrade. But if you think all this can satisfy, you know what Solomon says? If you read the book of Ecclesiastes, you are a fool. I'm full. This is it. Vanity is vanity. And you see, the crazy thing is this. We actually believe. No, we didn't believe the vanity is vanity. We actually believe some of these things satisfy. That's why we build our life in acquiring some of these things. And we actually listen to commercial advertisement more than the word of God. Vanity is vanity. This is why it's an interesting book. You talk about a Solomon that's going around endless wandering. And he cannot find rest and satisfaction from all this external circumstances. Basically, he said, vanity is vanity. He find life without rest and fulfillment. And that's where, if you go to Song of Song, it gives you the answer in finding rest. No, I'm not saying you cannot have all this, but that you can find rest and fulfillment, true joy and satisfaction, irregardless of how well is your outward or external circumstances. That's why he wrote chapter 1, verse 2, the classic verse that we sing a lot about. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his word. What's the next one? What's the next one? Let's say it together. His love is better than wine. You know, every time when this verse is mentioned, I always say this, may this be real in my heart. Not just a good verse to sing, that I truly discover that your love satisfied my soul. I want to go beyond just singing of that verse. I want to encounter that verse and say, oh, I find that satisfaction. Meanwhile, you have some spare cash, I go and buy an iPhone 6. Understand? It's not, oh, get iPhones, hopefully, and maybe you scroll a little bit, after a while, you're tired of it. Then you get into that perpetual cycle of vanity is vanity. Vanity is vanity. No matter how good the circumstances is, if we are not seeking to love God with wholeheartedness, it will always be in vain. Okay, that's why Song of Song provide the ultimate answer. So I encourage you, I mean, Chinese New Year, read. Because as I say, what a book. Hey, bantang lah. What bantang? Just read. It's a good book. Okay. So, uniqueness of the Song of Song. Uniqueness of the song. I just briefly read through. I'm seriously thinking about, hey, maybe I should. After chapter 1, verse 4, I just run through. That means if I come out with a study guide for Song of Song, in between there's a chunk on Ecclesiastes. Song of Song or Ecclesiastes. You have to read both together. Yeah. Let me think about it. That never ends. And probably it'll go all the way until the 12 chapters. Probably will take at least 10 weeks. Yeah. Let me consider. Okay. Fourth one. Important signpost in a Song of Song. See, realize I'm not interested in teaching you a book. I want us to encounter the book. No, I'm going to say it correctly. I want us to encounter Jesus through the Song of Song. That is the key thing. Okay, next one. Fourth. Important signpost in a Song of Song. You need to identify all this input. There are about seven. I think it's seven. Okay, if you think you have eight, fine. Important signpost in the Song of Song. I mean, it's important because it helps us to understand this book. It's like a guide in our journey. Okay, a progression where we know where we are. Of course, I will teach more in depth throughout the next 18 to 19 weeks. Okay, the first one is called the divine metaphor. Divine metaphor. There are three divine metaphors. Okay, the purpose of the divine metaphor is primarily centered around how do we encounter God or receive from God or how God works in our life. Okay, there are three. The first one is the most famous one, divine kiss. Divine kiss. Okay, Song of Song chapter 1, verse 2. It's like the spirit of revelation that tenderizes our heart, that grants us that ability to perceive and to receive. Okay, divine kiss. Then second is divine embrace. There are three times, okay. Chapter 2, verse 7. Chapter 3. verse 5, chapter 8, verse 4. Okay, go and find yourself if you didn't write down. It's basically talking about the unseen work of God in our life. Sometimes we may know, sometimes we will never know until we are on the other side. Then you will really tell God, God, you are so good. Because there are moments in our life we have doubts about God. God, where are you? Because we never realize. That's why I like this. I don't know whether the younger people remember this picture or note about this footprint thing. Footprint. You know, there's this long time ago. Y'all don't know. Look at Faith. I know she didn't know. She over. What? Footprint said, okay, I'm sorry. So you know. You know about, you all know. Yeah, then they go through the story. Yeah. So there are activities of God. You know, it's called the right hand of God and the left hand of God. Okay. The left hand of God are activities that on this earth, in this age, you will never know. Until when you are in heaven. That's why in heaven, everything, all praise will be genuine. A lot of our praise here, all by faith. God, I trust you. It's just faith. Because a lot of times, we don't see, we don't understand. In heaven, it's like, man, I didn't know that you were behind me all the time. And at the moment where I was most struggling, you were carrying me. And you really were praising him and worshiping him. Okay. So there's no such thing as unreal worship in heaven. No. Okay. Then the third one, divine seal. It's like the spirit of grace and fire that empower your heart. Chapter 8, verse 6. Chapter 8, verse 6. Okay. Second signpost. Inheritance statement. Okay. This is powerful. There are four inheritance statements, okay, that is placed strategically at different juncture of the life of the Shunammite woman. Every time that inheritance statement is being mentioned, basically she had grown a lever. Okay, she had grown a lever. Until finally the last one is at chapter 7, verse 10, where she is finally becoming mature. Or rather, she became mature. If you read the first one, chapter 1, verse 4, everything is about herself, self-centered. Oh, Jesus is mine. He's blessing. He blessed him. He blessed me. That's all I need. So that's it. By the time they go to chapter 7, verse 10, she has no concern about her life, her blessings. She doesn't care whether Jesus blessed her or not. Got house, no house. She does not care. It's always about Jesus then. That's why chapter 7, verse 10, she said this, I am my beloved. His desire is towards me. I belong to Jesus. He likes me. That is all it matters. Full stop. No, by the way, can you send me $1,000? No more. Because she fully understands. She's fully mature. She fully trusts. If you fully trust God, you don't have to ask God, God, will you provide? You know that He will provide. Because that's who He is. Psalm 23, verse 1 says what? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall lack nothing. When you become that fully mature, you know, you don't ask God, when are you going to send the money? You know that the money will come when you need. That's why Song of Songs, chapter 7, verse 10 is like the ultimate. She fully understands. She's fully mature. She does not ask anymore. No, that's not talking about don't pray, okay? No, I'm not talking about that. It's about she understood. Okay, inheritance statement. That's the second one. Third one. Revelation of Jesus. Okay, which I ran through just now. There are eight aspects of the revelation of Jesus. And there's a fourth one. Now, all this is used for you to apply in your own life. Okay. Apply in your own life. I was talking to a few persons this week in the meeting. I always tell people this. Whenever I do a study, I teach it firstly to myself. This is not about teaching to you. It's about myself. If whatever that I say don't move my heart, it's useless. So what if you're, oh, this is great, man. That's why I was praying. I said, God, even as I go through this book, grant me a fresh revelation and a fresh encounter. And I challenge everyone, don't assume, yeah, this is the third time, no. Is there anything new about Song of Song? That is wrong attitude. The revelation of God is unending. It's unending. Okay, I discovered a few things even this week, you know. Yeah. So the fourth one, passion and emotion of Jesus. There are lots of passion and emotion where it's good for you to apply. Like, for example, turn with me to chapter 1, verse 15. Chapter 1. And this, you can apply to yourself when you feel down or feel lousy about yourself. Apply it. You say, well, I mean, am I deceiving myself? No, this is the Word of God. The Word of God does not deceive you. Verse 1, chapter 1, verse 15 say what? Basically, Jesus said this. Behold, you are fair, my love. Behold, you are fair. You have dove eyes. It's a declaration of Jesus' view of who he is. Like Jesus said, Kechong, you are beautiful. You are beautiful. So there are moments where I kind of like, you know, get discouraged, you know, feel small, ministry is not getting anywhere, next door is like big and big and big and whatever. So then I turn to some of this. No, not to kind of like hype, but that I'm kind of refocusing my life in what really matters. And some of this, oh, God, you say I'm beautiful in your sight. I'm great in your sight. Thank you, Jesus. Or when I come back from a trip, remember to apply some of this when you come back from Cambodia, whether you do well or bad. Oh, Jesus, you love me. You call me beautiful. So what? Last week was a great ministry trip. I press the delete button. Then you always stay focused. His emotion and his passion over you. Fifth one. Journey and season. Yeah, different journey and season. There are different journey and season. Okay. Of course, the one that some of us don't like is chapter 4, verse 16, where there is a total switch of the season of a life where now north wind is coming. That's why she prayed, awake, O north wind. Blow upon my garden, there are different seasons of our walk with God. It's never plain sailing. God never promised us that our journey will be smooth, but he guaranteed one thing, he will be with us. And there will be grace. That is the key thing. Six, confession and declaration. It's so important for you to pick up some of this and declare this, because Romans 10 says what? You believe in your heart, you confess with your mouth. When you, that's why what we do in the prayer session, we say it. We confess it. Because when you confess, when you say something, especially you use the Word of God, something changes in your heart. Whether it's prayer or declaration or confession about yourself. That's why say it, declare it. Don't sit there passively. Say it. There are quite a few of the confession and declaration. Of course, the classic one, well-known one, is chapter 2, verse 1. Declaring about who you are. I am the rose of Sharon, lily of the valley. I am the rose of Sharon, lily of the valley. That's why some once in a while when you use this song, you know, I know Annabelle used a lot. What's the title? More than ashes, you know, come to what? I am the rose, I am the lily, you know. Sometimes I'll sing as a decoration. Sometimes I say, yes, this is who I am. You like me. I mean, of course, don't shout so loud. I mean, everybody say, can you become a distraction. Or sometimes when we sing the song, you know, where the verse come in is chapter 7, verse 10. I'm your beloved. Your desires towards me. I will declare, yes, you like me. No, you can find your own words to express, but when you say it, you are putting faith, not that favor. You are putting faith and the confidence in your heart. You know, I say, oh, I am yours, Jesus. You like me. I'm saying this for my heart. I'm not saying it for you to hear. So that put confidence and faith within my heart. Say, you like me. Of course, I base that confidence on Song of Song, chapter 7, verse 10. I am yours. you like me. So when, again, I can remember Annabelle, they sing the song, I am yours. This verse, I will open up Song of Song chapter 7, verse 10. I will declare it. Oh, you like me. I am yours. If you hear a voice behind you saying that, okay, Chong, don't overestimate yourself. I say, get thee behind me. I mean, hopefully it's not a real person. Then I say, hey, what are you doing? Okay, yeah. Okay. And there's a seventh one, number seven. No, I'm running through this signpost because how do you apply this book? It's through all these signposts and you declare it and say it over yourself. Last one, prayers. There are many prayers where you can pull it out to pray for yourself. For example, Song of Song chapter 2, verse 15. You know what is it about? It's about asking God to help you to deal with compromises in your life. Catch me the little foxes. Catch me the little foxes. Okay, I always say, you know, deal with the little foxes. By the time you become wolves, you'll be too late. Nobody say, yeah, don't worry about the 5 cent, 10 cent. No, deal with the 5 cent, 10 cent. If you cheat the 5 cent, 10 cent, you are likely to cheat when you have millions of dollars. This is a powerful prayer. Chapter 2, verse 15. Catch me, the little foxes. So, seven signposts. Divine metaphor, inheritance statements, revelation of Jesus, the passion and emotion of Jesus, the journey and season of this book, which is vital. Okay, this is like a roadmap, an instruction manual. Of course, it's not as straightforward. Like, it doesn't mean the life doesn't work that way. Sometimes you go to chapter 8, then go backward to chapter 2 because God is always bringing you to another level. Chinese say 更上一层楼. Yeah. Sixth one, confession and declaration. And the last one, prayers. Prayers. I'm going to conclude by giving especially the musicians and so on a challenge. Okay, turn me to chapter 1, verse 1. Chapter 1, verse 1. Again, this is my, I call it revelation or whatever. I literally felt God kind of telling me, this is an invitation to do this. It's on Tuesday. It's the last minute one. So angel is telling me, hey, not doing the transition. Yeah, we do the Song of Song. Turn me to chapter 1, verse 1. Chapter 1, verse 1. I tell you, this is a very important book, especially for houses of prayer. Remember I say this? Song of Song. The title itself primarily is for what? It's to sing. Is to sing. In fact, through this, I have a little idea about how do we sing the word. Sing the word, the IHOP One Thing Ministry style, then Kansas City style. Okay, so, no, Ken, IHOP KC. I'm just kidding. Just kidding. Chapter 1, verse 1 says what? The Song of Songs, which is written by Solomon. If you understand the Hebrew translation, you know what it means? The Song of all songs. The Song of All Songs. Solomon wrote about 1,005 songs. If you go to 1 Kings, I think it's somewhere in chapter 4. He wrote about 1,005 songs. But this song is called Song of All Songs. That means, if you understand what the Hebrew word is, that means it's highest of the highest. There will be no one song that is better than this song on earth. And in eternity, there's no one better song. Okay, turning me to Revelation 15. Revelation 15. Revelation 15. So I have given the assignment to Serena. I have given assignment to Sarah, Eng Chiu, and Alex, okay. I'm giving you an assignment. Okay. So, Revelation 15, verse 2. Okay. You know, it's interesting that, Revelation 15 is another one of the rare glimpses that God, by His grace, let us see what happened before the throne of God and worship. Okay. Two songs were highlighted. Revelation 15, verse 2. Two songs. One is called the Song of Moses. We all know where are the Song of Moses in the Bible. It's in Deuteronomy chapter 15, as well as in the, Exodus chapter 15, and then in Deuteronomy chapter 31 and 32. There are two songs that were being mentioned in Revelation 15, verse 2. Okay, one is the Song of Moses. Another one is Song of the Lamb. Song of the Lamb. That means basically it's a song of Jesus. Okay. Jewish tradition, some do believe that this is the song that Jesus will use, or their Messiah, to sing over the saints in eternity, and we sing back. Okay. The interesting thing is this. Then you ask the questions. Where is the Song of the Lamb in the Bible? Where is the Song of the Lamb? You know where is the Song of Moses? Okay. And it's inconceivable. Okay. I'll give you a few thoughts. So that's how I come into my own conclusion. I'm not saying that it's hard. No, definitely biblical Bible, but it's a conclusion that I feel comfortable about. I'm not saying that everybody has to agree and so on. Okay, one is this: if Song of the Lamb is written by Jesus, or is about Jesus, or is for Jesus, or through Jesus, it's inconceivable that Song of Moses is recorded in the Bible. Song of Song is not. Doesn't make sense. And if you know about the Hebrew comparison, Jesus is actually the greater Moses. It's very clear in the book of Deuteronomy. Then second is this. Jesus' song has to be the number one on the chart, right? Cannot be number two. Right or not? If Song of Song is the song of all song, okay, if it's not the Song of the Lamb, then the Song of the Lamb will be number two, isn't it? Right or not? Right or not? So I think Song of the Lamb is Song of all songs. Song of all song is the Song of the Lamb. And we are going to sing it in eternity, and Jesus is going to sing it over us. I think we can start singing it right now. And that I'm going to start a journey we're going to start the journey of when we sing the word, we sing Song of Solomon. No, I'm going to tell you how to do it along the way, okay? We try a little bit on Tuesday. I thought, wow, you know, we did it in 10 minutes. You just sing. Don't even try to build on it. Just sing from chapter 1 all the way to chapter 8. Just sing. In fact, I challenge you, if you are musicians, if you are singer, don't play music, so maybe a little bit. But if you are musicians, try doing this as part of your devotion at least once a week. Take an hour. Whether you get a keyboard or a guitar, just play. Open up the Song of Song, Two Birds, One Stone. While you're doing devotion, you are singing it. Sing. From chapter 1, verse 1, all the way to chapter 8 at the end. Sing. Now, I mean, you can skip chapter 1, like say, Song of Song, written by Solomon. Or quickly just get over. Okay, Song of Song, written by Solomon. Then go. Then go to the next one. The real stuff begins. Okay, no, don't undermine. I mean, that is still important if it's recorded. Okay. And you sing. Kiss me with the kisses of His word. Your love is better than wine. And just go on and go. You can pause somewhere if you feel like God is leading you to emphasize. No, for yourself. I'm talking about at home. For yourself. Emphasize. Sing it. Emphasize. No, don't try to build too much. If you come to, for example, chapter 2, verse 1, I am the rose of Sharon. Yes, I believe. I'm the rose of Sharon. I believe. I'm the lily of the valley. This is who I am. Then move on. bring me to the banqueting table. Your banner over me is love. Just sing. Just sing. Isn't it called the Song of Song? Supposed to be. So, trust me, something is going to happen to your heart. That's why I say, yeah, God, I decided not to learn guitar this year. Maybe I should consider. Or maybe I just get the old time. Hey, yeah, can you go and record a chord progression? Then I just at home do it. Yeah. So this is a challenge I give. I'm not saying those who don't play music cannot. It's a little harder. Okay. I've been trying. I'm not going to tell you the result. Okay. So this is the challenge. No. My goal, even as I teach you this Song of Song, is not that we revisit so that we know, chapter one is it, chapter two, that God will bring us a little bit deeper. And I felt it's like God giving us another key. Sing the book. Sing that book.